My guests grew up in a haunted house that was riddled with ghosts and paranormal activity. But what began in horror ended in victory. Want to learn how to be fearless in the midst of demonic attack? Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, John Veal, at 6, had an experience that no one should have. What happened to you?
Well, at 6 years old, I lived with my mother and my aunt, my grandparents, in a home in Chicago. And they acquired a Ouija board. Now, Ouija board is something that people use to contact the dead, but it was marketed as a regular board game. So they bought it innocently. And so one night they were playing, my mom and my aunt were playing the Ouija board. And I never played it, but I was around it and I kind of watched them. And all of a sudden they got something on the board. Now, something to understand about Ouija boards is that the dearly departed, they believe the dearly departed comes through the board. And the people put their hands on what's called a planchette, a triangular object. And
So this is almost like a seance.
Yes, yes,
very much. It's the same thing.
Yes, very much. And so they place their hands on it, and it moves the planchette around to different letters and symbols.
And spells things out.
Spells things out, yes. And so they're doing this on this particular night, and they got something on the board. And it was particularly drawn to my mother.
I hate you.
Wow. And it said it hated my mother, spelled out that it hated my mother. And then my mother asked it a question. She said, when will I die?
Ten years? No.
And it spelled out in the next 10 years. And so that frightened her to no end.
I would imagine so.
Yes. And so they kind of continued. My aunt went on and she played with the board and she got something on there. And then it went on to doing something else and saying all this foul language and all kind of stuff. It was really, really bad.
And so you kind of grew up with this sort of thing happening. But tell me about the time you just went into your bathroom and what did you see?
Yeah, I was on the back porch at the same house and just had to use the washroom. So I went to the washroom, and as a little guy, I had to reach up to turn the light on. I saw a figure that was darker than how dark it was in the bathroom. And I thought it was my Aunt Helen. And so I reached out to try to touch it. And so it seemed like the figure turned away from me and just disappeared. Now, what was so amazing is that I wasn't fearful at first. I was just in awe because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then fear hit me when it disappeared. And I ran out and I told my aunt what I'd seen. She said, I've seen it too, very, very calmly. So it was commonplace within the house.
By the way, did your mother live in real fear for the next 10 years?
Yes, she did. She did. This worried her. This upset her. As she was 26 at the time, so as she approached her 36th birthday, which was 10 years later, she started talking about the brevity of life, how short life is, telling me to take care of my little brother. So I started to pray with all my might. I said, Lord, please don't let my mother die. Don't let her pass. And thankfully, she did not die. She lived another 27 years.
There's terms like ghosts, and there's movies about ghosts. Are there such things as ghosts?
No. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this is judgment. So there is no staying on earth, there's no purgatory where you're on earth and just walking around aimlessly. You're either going to heaven or hell. And so ghosts are demons. They're demons. So if someone sees their grandmother and they appear, that's not your grandmother, that's a demon.
So obviously, you became very interested in that, the demonic stuff that was going on in your house.
Yes. But
how do demons gain access into our lives?
Yes, I talk about acceptance, accident, and ancestry. So I believe when we look at ancestry, it's down a lineage where people can mm-hmm. dedicate their children to Satan, and it just goes down that family line. With acceptance, it's basically people just accept it. They just invite the devil into their lives, such as witches and warlocks. They do this. They just tell the devil, just come on in. With accident, it comes from trauma. It comes from trauma. Something happening, something traumatic happening to the person, mm-hmm. and it gives the demons an entry point.
And speaking of entry points, Tell me about how demons are attracted to things like in your closet. There was darkness.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Now, it was a time I was really trying to explain myself. I knew I had a prophetic gift, but had no idea how to use it. No one in my family could explain it. They had gifts, but they didn't talk about being prophetic or really in church, so to speak. And so I went to my school library and I started getting all these books. They were on ESP and psychic and all that, psychic phenomena and all these things. And so what I would do was read them and I would store them in my closet. And what was so strange about that, in my room, it'd be toasty warm. But that closet was always cold. I tried to bring the family dog into my room. I have to close the door to keep the dog in because the dog would be in the circle and whine and scratch on the door. I got to get out of here, you know? And so I knew there was something wrong.
Dog knew more than you.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yes.
So what was wrong?
Those books contain a spirit and there was a minister at college, and he told me, he said, I see books in your closet, and they're literally portals to demons where they're able to get in and out. And he says, you got to get rid of them. So as soon as I came home on break, I got rid of those books, and the climate of my room changed. The coldness of the closet was gone. It was amazing.
Now, people don't realize this. But there are things like, obviously, books about New Age and witchcraft and stuff like that.
Yes.
That attracts demons. But a lot of people don't realize even jewelry.
Yes.
Tell me an example.
One person, a husband and wife, bought my book. And after a week of reading it, they had purchased some jewelry. And so all of a sudden, the wife got very, very ill. She even started to see images within the house. She had problems sleeping. But then they remembered chapter 6 and 7 when I talk about or teach about cursed objects and how to rid them out of your home. And so they followed those instructions. They got rid of the jewelry. And everything just returned to normal. I was so amazed by that. That just simply blew my mind.
Well, what kind of jewelry would attract a demon?
I think there's various jewelries with different symbols on it that we may think are benign, mm-hmm. but they end up being entry points for demons. And who they're created by, we don't know who created them. Do they believe in God? Do they believe in the Messiah? They just come from different origins, and a lot of times demons are attached to them.
How did you find out that you had a very strong anointing to set people free of the demonic? How did that happen?
It was a pretty amazing testimony. We had Mary Kay Baxter at our church, and when we were driving home, she asked if my wife or I wanted to get an impartation to see like she saw. Now, she wrote that book about seeing hell, and my wife was like, no way, I don't want it. I don't want it. No, that's all right. So she laid hands on me while I'm driving the car, and she did this impartation.
To this man, the same gifting you gave me to see.
So the next day, it was a Sunday, I was in my church. I felt led to really, really minister deliverance at the end of my message. And as I did this, everyone in the church started manifesting. Even the elders and leaders that were going to assist the other people, they started dropping on the floor. It was unbelievable. I had never seen anything like that in my life.
Now, are you special? Or can every believer walk in that kind of authority?
Well, Jesus said in Scripture that one of the signs of them that believe, one of the first things he said was cast out devils. They shall cast out devils. Any believer can cast out devils. You don't have to be a deliverance minister, a prophet, apostle. If you're a believer, you can cast out devils. That's one of the signs that shows you're a believer in the Messiah.
Now, just between the two of us, most Christians seem to be afraid of the devil. It should be the other way around.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's a defeated foe. Luke 10 and 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. One version says he gives you authority to destroy Satan's power. So we have to walk in that authority and believe it, speak it, declare it, decree it. The devil is under our feet. He is a defeated foe. We give him too much power and too much access in our lives, but he is defeated already by the wonderful work of Jesus Christ on the cross.
And you know, this is so important for you to understand this whole area of deliverance. It's not an emphasis, but it's part of the package because shortly millions of young people are going to come to the Lord. We're going to have the greatest move of God's
yes.
in history.
Hallelujah.
And when they come to the Lord, I was messed up big time when I came to the Lord.
Yes.
But they're even messed up more, if that's possible. They're into more stuff than I even imagined it was possible to be into. And they're going to need to be set free.
Yes.
And they're not going to have to go to a deliverance specialist.
Right.
That's
yes.
part of the package.
Yes.
So yes. that same presence of God on you that drives the devil nuts, it's on what you teach, it's on your books,
yes.
it's, you are going to have to understand this. You can't go running to some pastor somewhere and knock on his door at midnight, "I need help." You're the one that God wants besides you.
Yes.
The Jesus in you yes. is as strong as the Jesus in me.
Yes.
And the Jesus in John.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Now, one of the things you said that I thought was pretty interesting, you said when we identify the strongest demon in something, you describe it like a heavy ball and chain. What happens? Yeah. That's fascinating.
Mark 3:27 talks about binding the strong man and then being able to plunder his goods in his house. So I believe that with effective deliverance, we need to go for the strong man. Jesus went for Legion and he got rid of all those demons. And so a lot of times we waste a lot of time going for minor league demons. And I mean, say someone has 1,000 demons in them, it's going to take more than a lifetime, a couple of lifetimes to get them totally delivered. But if we can get that head demon, that chief demon, we can get him out. It's just like a ball and chain analogy. If I take a ball and chain, I throw it off a bridge, and anything that's attached to it that's lighter than it is going to go over. So when we get this big chief demon, this heavy demon, to get out of the person, all the other demons that are connected to them are going to go too. And then that way you have effective, full deliverance.
You know, what he has been taught step by step by God, he's put in his teaching and in his books. And you told me you had such resistance when you did this book.
Wow.
Do you know why he had such resistance? Because the devil knew that you were going to read this and listen to this teaching.
Yes.
And you were going to be just like Jesus in front of someone with a demon. John will pray for the spirit of fear, sickness, and failure to leave when we return. Be right back.
Call now and get John Veal's brand new book, Supernaturally Delivered, and his anointed and exclusive three-part audio CD teaching series, Overcoming Spiritual Strongholds. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9665. John Veal's brand new book, Supernaturally Delivered, is a practical guide to deliverance and spiritual warfare. Through this powerful book, you will be equipped to victoriously engage demons and conquer the enemy in every area of your life. Understand how to identify and close demonic portals in your life. Discover how to test the spirit behind every book you read, TV program, or movie that you watch. Receive divine keys of deliverance to help you overcome demonic hindrances that block you from experiencing God's promises and blessings for your life. Learn how to break curses on you or on others you know to end the battle with sickness, financial lack, broken relationships, depression, and more. The book includes supernatural prayers, prophecies, and decrees, including a prayer for supernatural deliverance, prayer against demonic prophecies, prayer to overcome the spirit of rejection, prayer against familial spirit, prayer to remove demonic residue from cursed objects, self-deliverance prayer, plus so much more. You will also receive John Veal's anointed and exclusive three-part audio CD teaching series, Overcoming Spiritual Strongholds. Through this anointed teaching, you will learn how to overcome the spirit of failure, which has plagued so many lives. Discover how to live in divine wholeness as you overcome spiritual strongholds and embrace the promises of God for your life. Understand how to walk in God's glory and experience the atmosphere of heaven every day. At the end of each teaching, John prays supernatural prayers over you to overcome spiritual strongholds and live in the abundance of all that God has prepared for you. Don't miss out on getting John Veal's brand new book, Supernaturally Delivered, and his anointed and exclusive three-part audio CD teaching series, Overcoming Spiritual Strongholds. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9665. Call or you can send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural, P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. Please specify offer number 9665 or log on to SidRoth.org. Call or write today.
When Mary Baxter prayed over you, you received something special. And when you pray for deliverance in a corporate setting, have you ever seen almost everyone gets set free in a congregation?
Yes, this happened to me 2 times. It was totally amazing. Didn't touch anyone, just spoke deliverance, and people just started falling out and manifesting. Even the elders that were getting, helping them, they were falling out as well.
Do people know if they have demons?
I believe some do and some don't. I was doing a deliverance class, and one of my members of my church, she came and said, "Look, I don't need to come to the deliverance class." She said, "I only have one demon." And I said, "That's one demon too many. You don't want any demons." You know?
Tell me about the woman that just read the intro of your brand new book and what happened.
That was amazing. She came to our church and she purchased the book, and she went home and just read the introduction and the first chapter. She wrote on my Facebook page, she wrote in saying that she got total deliverance just by reading those 2 chapters. It amazed me.
You see why the devil did not want that book out?
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's a freedom book.
Yes.
Did you feel the glory of God at all when you were doing this?
I did. And the glory was more evident through the resistance. Because I believe that when you are facing a lot of resistance, God is in that thing. God is in that thing. And you have to push forward and keep going and don't stop. Too many people face resistance and they stop going. But that's when I press forward even more. David ran at Goliath. He didn't run from Goliath. He ran at Goliath first. So a lot of times we have to run after the devil and get him on the run instead of him having us on the run.
Yeah. You know what I believe? I believe once the devil becomes convinced you're never going to give up, he goes and looks for someone else.
Yes.
That's what I'm convinced.
I always say the devil fights hard, but he doesn't fight long.
I like that. you teach a lot about how to protect our anointing, the oil of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean by that? Explain that.
Well, one definition of anointing is effectiveness. So the devil wants to stop our effectiveness. So he'll do whatever he can do. So we really need to guard our oil, our anointing, so he doesn't discover the secret to our effectiveness. A lot of times we talk about anointing, and you need anointing for different things, revival, for breakthrough, for healing. And once the enemy finds that secret out, he'll start planning and plotting against you. That's why sometimes it's better to be quiet than to really talk a lot. You don't want the enemy to hear the plans and strategies God has downloaded specifically to you in order to tear down his kingdom. So I believe that again, it goes back to effectiveness. God has given us oil to be effective, and the devil doesn't want that.
You say that every believer a right to divine wholeness and healing. Every believer.
Yes, yes.
Explain.
I did a study, and I looked at how people were healed. And I learned that the people that decreed a thing got healed instead of asking questions, instead of asking for healing. I went to the centurion soldier. He said, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole." He told that to Jesus, and it happened. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, "If I may touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." And she did it, and that's what happened. And even blind Bartimaeus, he said, "Oh, son of David, have mercy on me." Statement, decree, he got healing. He got healed. He got his sight back. So what I learned is that we have to do it by faith. Job 22 and 28 says, if you decree a thing, it's established. So I'm learning that we have to decree healing because it's something that belongs to us. Healing is the children's bread. We have it. It's a promise of God. So we have to decree it by faith, and it will start to manifest in our bodies. Now,
as I told you, John Beale is a prophet. And you received a prophetic word that I think you have to shout it from the rooftops. And the prophetic word was about new season and upgrade. Would you look in the camera and proclaim it and explain it?
I just decree and pray right now. I speak and declare and decree that this is your upgrade season. This is your time to upgrade your prayer life, your worship life, because God wants to do something new in you. He wants to bless you. He wants to download new software to replace the old software of yesteryear. I want to speak and declare and decree in the name of Jesus, this is your upgrade time, upgrading your finances, upgrading your health, upgrading your ministry, upgrading what you're called to do. I just speak a supernatural upgrade to you right now in the name of Jesus. Are you ready for it? Are you prepared for it? Because God wants to take you to another level, an upgrade in revelation, an upgrade in what He's called you to do. You need to get ready for this upgrade, prepare for it, make room for it, because it is here in Jesus' name. I'll tell you what.
It was almost like, I don't know about you, but I felt the presence of God going out of that prayer. So I want you to pray against the spirit of fear, failure, and sickness right now.
Father God, I come before you to pray against the spirit of failure first. That failure is tied to fear. It's a twin of fear. They're related. Wherever you see failure, there's fear. But I want to come against the spirit of failure and fear right now in the name of Jesus. I just speak and declare that that spirit will no longer hold you back, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I speak against failure and fear right now that's tried to stop you from walking in the direction of your destiny. You better get ready, because God is going to make you a great success in this season, but you have got to trust Him like you've never trusted Him before. The spirit of fear has no power over you. It cannot hold you back. We break the back of fear in the name of Jesus. We loose that you will do what God has called you to do in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. Sickness will not hold you back. It will no longer hold you back. I speak healing right now in your body, right now. For whoever's listening to me right now, you're going to start to get up and walk again. Your vision is going to become 20/20. It's going to clear up. I speak against arthritis and heart disease right now. You are divinely whole in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus, because that's how God wants you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, when John talked about arthritis, I saw people with their fingers that when you bend them, they hurt. You know what I'm talking about. You are healed in Jesus' name. I tell you this, this is what Jesus said in the original Greek. This is eternal life, that you might have experiential knowledge of me. He didn't say, just say a prayer with Billy and that's it and live like the world. You need an experience with God. I want you to pray for, not the experience, I want you to pray that your sins be forgiven, that Jesus really live inside of you, and you, then you walk in experiential knowledge of God. Repeat after me. Very important to say it out loud. I want everyone to repeat after me. Dear God, I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
And I'm ashamed of it.
And I'm ashamed of it.
And I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I believe the blood of Jesus, washes away my sins. And I'm clean.
It feels good to be clean.
And now that I'm clean, Jesus, I ask you to come inside of me.
I ask you to be my Lord.
I ask you to be my Savior.
Yes.
I love you, God.
I pray
that I have my own experience with you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.